Spirit of heaven, there is nothing like your love.
Thank you for listening to one of the audio messages from Cornerstone Church Airdrie. My name is Brad, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead campus pastor and primary preaching voice at Cornerstone Church Airdrie. So if it's me you're hearing speak today, or if it's someone else, our desire is still the same. We pray that you are so encouraged, that you are built up, challenged, and inspired. Through these messages, our hope for you is that you would grow in knowing God, knowing His hope, knowing His purpose, and knowing His power. We believe that the God who spoke all through Scripture is still speaking to us today, and we pray that as you listen to this message, the heart of God would be speaking to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, now, you know, we've got some very walkie-fied people in this church. I can't understand it. I do not relate to it. So the next time we have the connecting activity, it's a hike. Maybe I won't be. I forgot the one on Friday anyway, so blah. But anyway, you know, we've had recent hikes. Brad has been doing a very rude thing. He's been climbing in the mountains, for goodness sake. And I don't care how hard it is, but I'm not doing that, Brad. Our youth went on a hike, is that right? And it went on a little longer than they thought, right? That was 20 kilometers, was it? Aha. My son of 46 went on a hike over the long weekend because he was trying to be a good dad and show off that he's not too lazy. Well, it ended up being 17 and a half Ks, and the next day he was like an old man and he had to take medicine for pain. He was so sore. He has a daughter who's very leggy and is happy to climb mountains and all sorts of things. Talking about which, we have our dear Steve here, who does the mountain thing. Steve walks and walks and walks in mountains. I can't understand that either. And I asked him, how far did he go? And he doesn't give me a whole answer. And I said, if I ask you in the church, will you say? And he said, oh, I don't know. But he doesn't, he has them all written down. The last one was in the Elbow Valley area, right? 13 kilometers. Okay, so I also want to tell you about Wes Chitwood. Now, he's not here today, but his mom and dad are, Lois and Wally. Wes went down to New Zealand for 2 years. And in one summer, he walked for about 1,200 kilometers. So in two summers, he added them up, 2,400 kilometers. He walked through mountains, through valleys, through streams. He got exhausted. And we met a mountain runner in Belfast who runs up the mountains because his knees hurt if he walks. Can you get that? He runs up the mountains. Something wrong with him? Anyway, I won't even say his name because embarrassing for him. Anyway, last Sunday there was a man from Edmonton that ran a thing called, oh gosh, the Canadian Death Race in Grand Cache. He went over, let me tell you because I've got to read it because, you know, I won't remember. He ran 125 kilometers over three Rocky Mountain peaks for 12 hours and 47 minutes straight. It's the fastest time in 20 years that he's been able to do that. And it was such, his name is Petrosky. He said afterwards, it was so wonderful, but now he has sore legs and blistered feet. Well, I'm not surprised. It will take weeks to recover, but he said it was worth it. It was worth it all. Now, we all have a race to run in our lives, and you'll see on the screen, a journey in hope. This man won the race. We win things. When we go hiking and doing things like that, we overcome things. Wes had a wonderful time in New Zealand. I know that Steve loves it, and so does Brad. They go in mountains and do stuff. Well, that is really good for them. They love that, so it achieves something in their lives. We all have our own race to run. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, we read that we are to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance. I bet you they had to persevere. Did your youth have to persevere? Did anybody nearly die? No. Oh, I thought they might. Well, okay. To run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, because each one has got a different one. So when I'm going uphill, you might be in a nice valley with a stream. I don't know. Okay, so we must run that with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Whew, he got us into it. He's got to help us get through it. We also will feel at times like we have sore legs and blistered feet. Our journey is not going to be an easy one, but it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And you know what? I have to read because I'm really notorious for going over time. And I timed it out if I read it, but if I get sidetracked and talk, we'll be here a long time. 2 weeks ago, Matt shared with us how we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds, do you remember? And how we should have a different attitude to things. He spoke about his sorrow and how the Lord helped him to see it in a different light. And he had a victory over it. Our attitudes do change a lot. And we have to take our wrong thoughts captive and subject to the leadership of Jesus Christ. I believe we need to hear what Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. Yet, my brothers, I do not consider myself to have arrived spiritually. None of us do we? Nor do I consider myself already perfect, but I keep going on, grasping ever more firmly that purpose for which Christ grasped me. We've got, should I say grasped me, took me. Okay, but my brothers, I do not consider myself to have fully grasped it even now. But I do concentrate on this. I leave the past behind, important, and with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight for the goal. My reward, the honor of being called by God in Christ. Isn't that awesome? And he speaks about attitude too. He will find that this is the attitude which God is leading you to adopt, is to have this attitude of ambition to reach the end of the trip. All right, so now we're going to go to slide number 2. This is a map of Israel. There is a walk there called the Jesus Trail. And it's a touristy thing, but you can walk it if you want to. You have to go 65 kilometers from Nazareth to Capernaum. It is said that during his ministry, Jesus walked 5,029.2 kilometers. That's during his ministry. But over his lifetime, a conservative estimate in the number of kilometers that he walked was likely around 34,641.13, almost the equivalent of walking around the entire world. Jesus came to the entire world. Bless him, praise him. We have a journey ahead of us, as we said. As Christians, we need to walk with the Lord in the light of his word and trust him. Indeed, it is an invitation to us as we read in Genesis 17, verse 1, God said to Abram, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Woo. Every journey has its difficulties, even though we walk with the Lord in his grace. And that means, if you look in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, the free, unmerited love and favor of God. Isn't that wonderful? When you read his grace is sufficient, you can say, the free, unmerited love and favor of God is sufficient for me to do this task. Then it's okay. It sounds much better. Anyway, his grace, his protection, his covering, and we are aware that there's an enemy out there. The devil who wishes to divert and distract us from our purpose of accomplishing our goal. We have people in our house that are always being distracted from their goals. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, we don't want that. So, I want to share this picture with you. Malcolm took it in Israel. It's coming out of the Holocaust Museum. You cannot take pictures inside there. It's too tragic. Anyway, you wouldn't want to. And you are so tearful, and you've just come out this place where they show all the people's photos. And as you come to that, there is the light coming into the darkness. Find hope. This is the thing. We have to find hope. As we walk toward that, we see the light. When you go onto the deck out there, it actually looks over a huge green natural space, which will never be built on while Israel is Israel, because it means a lot to them. God's chosen people had to go through great difficulties during World War II, and before that. But they knew that there would be a light at the end of it, because they were looking for a country of their own, which was promised to them by God. The Jews came out of that war into a land of their own. In 1948, Israel was declared their home nation. So God kept his promise to them. This picture illustrates the hope Jewish people have in the fulfilled promise. It demonstrates also coming out of darkness into a glorious and bright new future. We too have the promise of being brought from darkness into light. We have, if we have received Jesus as our Savior, this is our truth. This has happened already. But we do need to walk into the land God has promised us, a home of freedom and glory. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. He said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable and logical explanation is that I was made for another world. And we don't belong here. We're made for another world, and we're going there." Okay, so how shall we accomplish this journey? We can say this together if you like. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his boundless resource. Some scriptures say in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in his boundless resource. Now you can read the next one with me. Put on God's complete armor so that you can successfully resist all the devil's methods of attack. Now you might think, well, now, Cynthia, we know that. I knew that for many years, and I thought, well, that's fine. I'll put my arm on. That's a good thing. I'll be protected. But I never realized we're dealing against different methods of the attack. It's not just he's attacking, well, I'm having a bad time, the devil's attacking me. No, he's got methods, and we must be logical in counteracting those methods. So we're going to look at that armor, and we'll start with the belt of truth. Now, we know that Jesus is our truth, right? So it's almost like having Jesus, right? Of course, we walk with this belt on. There are many things said about this. It's probably old to you already. But I'd like to draw out a message from Genesis 3, verses 1 to 5. I'm going to read scripture. You can just write down the references if you want them. But I'm not putting them up there because they take too much space. Now read about this because it's new to look at for us today. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Did God say that? He didn't say you can't touch it. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He was appealing to their pride, wasn't he? Yeah? Please notice the woman added her own bit to what God said. We can be our own enemy at times. He said, God said, don't eat of it. She said, and he also said we mustn't touch it. He didn't say that. You can check it back and you'll see. Now, what is this enemy we have? He's a murderer. He's a murderer, and he has been from the beginning. And if you don't trust me, John 8, I think. Let me go to my reference here. John 8, verse 44, the end of that verse. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was always against the truth. There is no truth in him. He is like the lies he tells. Yes, the devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. So what lies does he whisper to you? I've thought about the lies he says to me. He has some ideas. What twisting of the word does he do? When we read the word, does it twist? Recently, a friend of mine sent me, I think she put it on Facebook, Shana did, about how she's read something for years and even quoted it and then found it wasn't really like that in the Bible. So she had to go back and say, oh, I read that wrong. Well, how does he twist the word of God to us? Look how he did that to Eve. Does he really say that? Come on. People say to you today, well, God is a God of love, you know. It doesn't matter what we do, but one day we'll be in glory with him because he's a God of love and mercy. They forget that we have to give our love to Jesus and we have to walk in his ways. What is his interpretation of what God says, like he did to her, a different interpretation there? We can have our own. God has his. That's the one that counts, right? But then the devil has his, and he twists that word, woo, like that. And so, do you hear clearly what he said? Sometimes our ears are kind of, we're not only blocked, but what happens is they kind of, we've got a preset thought in our head. Oh, I have to tell you a joke now. It's not written in, so I might go over time. There was this young man and woman in a youth group in South Africa, and he really planned on dating this girl. He loved her so much, but she wanted nothing to do with him. So he said, I have to date you. The Lord says it's in his plan, and I have to date you. Well, date was then not the same as today. It meant like going out with you, right? She said, I don't want to. He said, but here is the scripture. You shall go out with joy. And her name was Joy, you see. So he had a preconceived idea, and he couldn't change it. The Lord didn't say you must go out with joy. He said you must go out with joy, but that's different, okay? Well, that was fun. Okay, I'm not going to ask you what lies, but I know some of the lies he says to us, and we'll pick them up as we go along. You're not worthy. You're not even educated. Was Jesus educated? Only in the synagogue stuff. Oh, you didn't go to university. How can you do anything? Okay. But you know that? He's not only our belt of truth. He's the breastplate of righteousness. We are not righteous in ourselves, but we read this story in Zechariah 3. I love it. The angel showed me Jeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Now, Zechariah is having a vision here, but I love it. So Zechariah says, the angel showed him Jeshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Jeshua. Does that sound familiar? Do you have that? I have it sometimes. And the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, reject your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem, or you. Rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from a fire. So, Joshua's clothing was filthy as he stood there before the angel. So the angel said to the others standing there, take off his filthy clothes. And turning to Joshua, he said, see, I have taken away your sins, and now I'm giving you these fine new clothes. The angel of the Lord that is represented here is actually a pre-incarnation, a vision of Jesus. So he said, I have taken away your sins, Jesus said. And now I'm giving you these fine new clothes. I see it as the clothes of salvation, the garments of salvation. Then I said, they should also place a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean priestly turban on his head and dressed him in new clothes because while the angel of the Lord stood near. That was interesting to me because the devil always wants to accuse us, but we can say, the Lord says, I have chosen, let me use a person, I've chosen Sarah, and you cannot say anything against her because I have washed her clean of her sins. My blood has been shed for her. So if the enemy comes to Sarah and says things to her, she has something to say back to him. I believe it's time that we get proactive in our way of dealing with the enemy. Jesus also had something to say to someone just like us, someone who was caught out in her sin. We find that in John chapter 8. That's not up there. When Jesus had raised himself up from writing in the sand and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. But they had all been there a few minutes ago, pointing their fingers and condemning her. Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Have you heard that whisper? You are not good enough. Remember the things you used to do. Remember your past. Remember what you were like as a teenager, that I can say that. Remember how awful you were to your parents. Remember what you did the other day, how rude you were to your husband or whatever. I'll just say. And the thing is, we hear that all the time. Remember, but God says we don't remember, he's forgotten it. And then he says, how can you be worthy to be used by God if you've done all that stuff? But Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation on anybody here. And the ones who love Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We have to walk with Jesus in obedience. So do not tolerate the devil's accusations. We stand clean and forgiven in the blood of the Lamb. There's a scripture we're going to share later about being placed before the throne, clean and spotless and pure. We are already that. In the eyes of God, we are clean and pure because His grace covers us. His blood has been shed. Okay. The gospel of peace. It actually says, have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. We have to walk in peace. That can be difficult. Now, there's all kinds of peace. We have to go out in peace. We have to come in peace. We have to live our daily lives in peace because our shoes are taking us everywhere, and they're our shoes of peace, right? Now, in Matthew 28, verse 19, there was the Great Commission. Jesus said to the disciples, go, therefore. Now, he said, therefore, because he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. So you go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what's stopping us from going, huh? Isaiah 52, verses 7 to 10. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation. And this was a message to the Jews at first, but it's also for us. And he says to Zion, your God reigns. He was saying, go and tell them their God reigns. And we can say to you, God who loves all the people of this world in whose hands they were made, he loves them, he reigns. Would you hear the enemy whisper to you, surely it's not your feet they're talking about. When did your feet ever look beautiful to strangers? I know somebody with very ugly feet. He has to wear socks to bed. It's not my husband, I just know. You don't have the money to go out and share the gospel. Have you heard that one? Where am I going to get the money? You need to let others go. You are needed here. You are not good at evangelizing. It's not your gift. I've said that for many years. So I seem to go to missions. I don't know why. I'm not good. It's not my gift. I have different gifts. If God is always with us, think about it. We have no need. For he is the great I am. He is our provider, our rock, our defender. But there is something else here that we don't always notice. It's not only the peace of the gospel. The gospel of peace is peace near and peace far, and peace at home and peace outside your home. The enemy has come to steal. The Bible said, Jesus said, the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Right? He came to steal, kill, and destroy God's people. He particularly wishes to steal our peace. But this is what we know from God's word. Do you know what? He often wants to steal my peace. Sometimes I don't have peace, and my face gets all tense and a worry. But this is what we know from the word, and it's the word we've got to put in our mind and say to the devil, don't worry about anything. Jesus said it. And Paul said it again in Philippians. Instead, pray about everything. Oh, we think, oh, I'm just praying, I'm not doing anything. But you must tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So if you're not at peace, that's a good place to start. Go to him. The devil will say to you, you don't have what it takes to do what God is telling you to do. Everybody's badgering you. Do this, do that, do this. I think you should do this. I think you should do that. But you know what he says to you? You haven't got what it takes. I'm sorry. My husband was told by his father when he was a young boy, you'll never amount to anything. Right? These are lies from the enemy. You won't meet your budget this month. Have we heard that one? You're going to be short of money. You better not give to anybody. You better not do what the Lord is saying, because you'll have to give money and then you won't have enough. You'll never have victory over this depression or illness or sorrow or anything. You will never have it, but it's not what God says. God said, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. And we can pray and we can thank him for what he's done. And his peace will come. Why will it come? Because he's got a plan and he's going to do it. Right? I get heated. Sorry. He also wishes to steal our unity and love for each other. But this is what we hear from God's word. Romans 12 verse 18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Be friends with people. Don't build up any conspiracy theories, please. And Mark 9, verse 50, Jesus said, live in peace with each other. It came just after the part where he spoke about being salty, having the salt and having the flavor of the salt, and be in peace with each other. Do you hear the destroyers say, so-and-so is impossible to work with, or he and she is not quite my cup of tea? Do I have to go to that meeting and be with them? You can't trust that one. Look what they did done to you before. And when you come to church and somebody doesn't greet you and say, oh, I've offended that person. Or maybe they don't like me. Maybe I should change churches and go somewhere else where people will love me. Lots of things like that the enemy says to us, but we cannot listen. We have to say we love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. He showed us how to do it, and we will do it. Now we have to have a shield of faith. Jesus himself said, therefore I say to you, all things which you pray and ask, for which you pray and ask, believe you have received them and they will be granted you. That is awesome promise. Jesus himself said it, the very word of God, the living word of God, gave us this promise. Therefore I say to you, all things which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. That comes after the part where he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Aren't those wonderful promises? Have we ever thought about them much lately? Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For all who ask will receive, and all who seek will find. It happened to me in my house when I lose stuff sometimes. And those who knock, to them the door will be opened. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and she said, how shall this be that I shall have a son of God? I'm a virgin. Oh. The angel said, well, she actually said to the angel, okay, be it unto me according to thy word. Oh, and so then the angel said, blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. I've raised teenagers that are not teenagers anymore. But I can tell you times when I said, Lord, you promised my children are going to come and know you. But I haven't seen it yet. And at times I didn't want to keep on believing. But today, they all walk with the Lord. God fulfilled his promise. You are blessed because you believed what the Lord would do, that the Lord would do what he said. These are scriptures that we can declare when we are challenged in the area of our faith. And we are. Often we are challenged. We get tired and overwhelmed and we just don't want to believe. We think it's never going to happen. This is the promise of God for every situation we face. But Jesus also asks this question, which I found very interesting at the end of Luke 18, verse 8, the last piece of that piece there. He says, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Let us pursue that. Pursue faith. All right, next one. I've got to get on now. I don't even know what the time is. I don't know what time was started, so I have no idea. Slide 11, helmet of salvation. You know, many times the enemy has come to me and said, are you really saved? How do you know you're really saved? Because you're not walking in perfection. You're not walking like Jesus. Those doubts come from the enemy. We read in Hebrews chapter 6. God wanted, I'm reading out of this other translation, it's the easy to read version because I sometimes need something like that. God wanted to prove that his promise was true. He wanted to prove this to those who would get what he promised, salvation. He wanted them to understand clearly that his purposes never change. So God said something would happen, and he proved what he said by adding an oath. These two things cannot change. God cannot lie when he says something, and he cannot lie when he makes an oath. So these two things are a great help to us who have come to God for safety. They encourage us to hold on to the hope that is ours. This hope is like an anchor for us. It is strong and sure and keeps us safe. It goes behind the curtain that was torn in two, that allows us access into heaven. Jesus has already entered there and opened the way for us. He has become like the high priest. He has become the high priest forever, just like Melchizedek was quoted in the Old Testament. Colossians 1. At one time, you were separated from God. You were his enemies in your minds because the evil you did was against him. You know, David said in his wonderful psalm of repentance, he said he had done some terrible things to people. He'd had a man killed. He had adultery with his wife. But he said, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is wrong in your sight. The people are important, but God is the one that we sin against. So this, I'll go back to the Bible now. Because the evil you did was against him. But now he has made you his friends again. He did this by the death Christ suffered while he was in his body. He did it so that he could present you to himself as people who are holy, blameless, and without anything that would make you guilty before him. We don't have to carry that guilt. It's gone. And that is what will happen if you continue to believe in the good news you heard. You must remain strong and sure in your faith. You must not let anything cause you to give up the hope that became yours when you heard the good news. We have an anchor in Christ Jesus. Then, of course, we have to have the sword of the Spirit. Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone. Oh, you're so hungry by then. But by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. God's word feeds us. But we sometimes are tempted to go a different direction. We don't have enough in our Christian walk, and we want more. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and he said, if you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say. He will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil told him to go to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. Do you hear every time Jesus said, the scriptures say, that we would say, the Bible says, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit says, God says. Jesus gave us this great example of how to use the word of God as a sword, wielded against the enemy. We need to know the word or search out those scriptures that apply to the need we have and then declare them over that. If we are afraid, if we think we're going to be if we're tempted in our pride, we read the scriptures that Jesus said, humble yourself, right? And we can say to the devil, I won't be caught into that pride trap that you had, I'm going to humble myself. Zechariah 6 says, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth a top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. What a promise. It's not about how well we pray, or how long we pray for, or whether we fast while we pray, but it's about the Spirit of God moving powerfully on our behalf. That doesn't mean we mustn't pray. Of course, we've got to pray. We have to pray, of course. We read here, we have to pray at all times. That's another weapon for us. We have the sword and we have the prayer, see? We have to pray at all times. We can't stop praying. We know the story of the widow lady that she went to the judge and she asked for justice to be done. And Jesus told the story to demonstrate that we should not give up praying. We should persevere. And some people pray for years and years and years for something and they don't see the answer. But we must not give up, because Jesus said that the judge didn't want to help the woman, but God is different. God says, when you call to me day and night and you don't give up, will I not listen to you? Will I not always give to you what is right for you? I will not be slow to answer. And I tell you, God will help his people quickly. Sometimes we think it's not quick enough, eh? Mm-hmm. Hebrews 4 verse 14, I love this. So then we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to what we believe. I believe. We sang today, I believe. We sang it. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly, not shy, boldly to the throne of our gracious God. In fact, the other version says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, the place where you're going to find that free, unmerited love and favor of God. Why not go there and get it, you know? We just stand back and we don't. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find that love and that honor to help us when we need it most. Let us not forget to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 has a short verse. It says, pray at all times. Pray at all times. Pray in the spirit and with your understanding, said one of the other apostles. About everything, big and small, I say. Ask, seek, and knock. The enemy especially wants to steal our prayer time. He knows that's where our strength is and that God hears and answers prayer. Prayer is both a weapon and a source for us. And we read that in Jude, we read, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, which is our belief, praying in the Holy Spirit, and pray in tongues, pray in the understanding, pray sleeping, pray standing up. I ask the Lord to pray through me at night when I'm sleeping. Okay, pray standing up, pray sitting down, pray walking, doesn't matter. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Okay, now we get nearly near the end. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. You see, there it is in the distance. The light is shining, and the closer we get, the more light is coming to us. And the Bible says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. James 4, verse 7. Well, I want to say something. Let us no longer walk in the shadows cast by the enemy of our souls. I'm sick and tired of it. Can you tell I'm a bit excited today? Man, let us be proactive in rebuking him. Not just sit back and say, oh, well, excuse me. I've got my armor on, so I'll be fine. No, no. Let's get out there. Let's wield a sword. Let's lift up the shield of faith. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right. Then we come to the day that hope is found. Look at that. There we go. There is an old-fashioned hymn that says, that will be glory for me when my trials and troubles are over at last. Because it's not easy to walk this walk. As you know, people are being persecuted all the time. We are dealing with governments and people who make choices that we don't agree with. That song says, when all my labors and trials are o'er, when I stand on that heavenly shore, and when we see Jesus face to face, that will be glory for me. That will be what I'm aiming for. Glory, glory, glory for me, for you, for all of us who come into that place. Our journey might be long and it might be short, but it's a journey that we alone can do. But we're going to reach Jesus.
Thanks again for listening to the message. I pray that your heart was blessed by what God had to say today. If you'd like to connect further with Cornerstone Church Airdrie, there's a couple things that you can do. You can find us on the internet at cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com and select Airdrie from the homepage. If you'd like to connect to a pastor at the church, you can do that through our website. Once you're on the Airdrie page, just click on the New Here tab in the main menu and our campus pastor from the drop-down menu. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Cornerstone Airdrie, or you can follow us on Twitter at CS Airdrie. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and get new content delivered directly to you. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, as that helps people find us easier. We're so grateful to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our community in Airdrie and with you today. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. And you are a part of that family. As family, we go. Oh, that you are who we are.